He's around you everywhere. He will hear and answer you too. He'll see you through.
Gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written. So then the Lord Jesus, when he had spoken these words, was received up into heaven. It is written. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was carried up into heaven. It is written. He was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. When he had said these things, as they were looking, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were looking steadfastly into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was received up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye beheld him going into heaven. If we are keeping Jesus near and telling of his love, we shall be called away from here to reign with him above. So labor for him from day to day till trials all are past. Tell of his love along the way to reign with him at last. Keeping our earthly temples bright, pray on and watch and wait. Scatter the precious gospel light till love throws wide the gate. Wonderful joy we all shall know beyond the shadows dim. Let us then be prepared to go above to reign with him.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message, the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, there are several references in the New Testament regarding the ascension of Jesus to heaven after his resurrection. We are told that he spent 40 days on earth instructing the apostles before he was taken up. So the following is a short list of some of the references of that momentous event. What a day that was when Jesus was taken up into heaven. Jesus himself spoke of it as a marvel when he challenged some of his followers in John 6. What then? If you would see the Son of Man ascending up where he was before. Perhaps this message will give a partial answer to that question of Jesus to modern-day disciples. The first ascension story we note is in Mark. So then, the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken unto them, was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word by the signs that followed. When the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, his work continued on earth as the apostles went forth and preached the gospel. But Jesus is more than a passive observer of the activities of the apostles as they preached the word. Mark tells us that he worked with them from heaven, confirming the word by the signs that followed. The signs that he gave them were casting out demons, speaking in new tongues, taking up serpents, immunity from drinking poison. The speaking in tongues was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, when the apostles were heard by 16 or 17 different tongues. Many instances of casting out demons are mentioned in the book of Acts. And while no example of immunity from poison is mentioned, we do have one example of Paul taking up a poisonous snake and suffering no ill effects from snake bite. The Lord confirmed the word by the working of those signs. Although we do not need to confirm the word today since we have the New Testament. It has already been confirmed, and there's no need anymore for these miracles as worked through the hands of men. However, the Lord is still busy working with those who preach the word, as found in the book of Acts. In his providence, Jesus still brings together both the preacher and audience to hear about the death, burial and resurrection of the Lord, and the response that he requires. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The emphasis on the ascension in Mark, however, is on evangelism. Now the ascension according to Luke. In Luke, the ascension is told about when it says, "And he led them until they were over against Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God." The emphasis on the ascension of Jesus, according to Luke, seems to be more on the personal worship of the apostles. They worshipped him and were continually in the temple blessing God. Today, we need to worship in the temple. And we do have a temple. Paul speaks of that temple when he says, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of God? Therefore, glorify God in your body." Our worship in the temple today is a day-by-day experience of glorifying God in the lifestyle of the Christian. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid." The Christian, by his lifestyle, should be just as conspicuous as a light set on a hill. Our worship also includes the gathering of the members of the local congregation together each Lord's Day according to Acts 20:7. and upon the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread. Our observance of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week is a constant reminder to the world that Jesus died on the cross and was buried, ascended, and is coming again. Then again, the emphasis of worship on the Lord's Day is a challenge to any serious-minded follower of the Lamb, according to Hebrews chapter 10. There it is stated, "Not forsaking our own assembling together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day drawing nigh." And then this somber warning to those who misuse the day of worship. If we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment of fire that shall devour the adversaries. According to that statement, a person who deliberately avoids the worship service is an adversary of God. Furthermore, the warning is even more disturbing when the inspired word states, "You have trodden underfoot the Son of God, and counted the blood of the covenant wherewith you were sanctified an unholy thing." And then beyond that it is said, "You have done despite unto the Spirit of grace." Listen again to those awful pronouncements. Adversary of God, trodden underfoot the Son of God, counted the blood of the covenant an unholy thing, done despite to the Spirit of grace. This warning is emphasized, and in addition to all this is the warning, "As ye see the day drawing nigh." The Christ who ascended is coming again, and he himself has said, "It will be in an hour when ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." And ladies and gentlemen, if that's not enough to light your fire, finally, there is an awful statement. "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Now, in the ascension of Jesus, according to the book of Acts, the Lord was on the Mount of Olives with the apostles. He had just told them that they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were looking steadfastly into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And they said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye looking into heaven? This Jesus, who is received up from you into heaven, shall come in such manner as ye saw him going into heaven." Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is nigh unto Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. In this account of the ascension of Jesus, it is emphasized this same Jesus will return in like manner as ye saw him going into heaven. The second coming is predicted in this account of the ascension. That promise one day will come in like manner as he was received up into heaven and given by the Lord himself when he told Caiaphas at his trial, "Henceforth ye shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." he shall come in like manner as he was received up into heaven. And then another prediction is what John said in the first chapter of Revelation. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, yea, and they that pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn over him. Not only will Caiaphas see him, but also every eye shall see him all at the same time. Those who crucified him or rejected his blood sacrifice will mourn at the sight of the victorious Christ coming on the clouds of heaven. He shall come in like manner as they beheld him going into heaven. Another statement about his coming in like manner as he was received up into heaven is in 1 Thessalonians. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are left alive unto his coming shall together be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He shall come in like manner as he was seen going into heaven. Then another reference that informs us that he will come in like manner as he ascended into heaven is in 2 Thessalonians, when Paul speaks of the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with the angels of his power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God, and to them that have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that Paul tells of angels in flaming fire in the Lord's return. That reminds us of the translation of Elijah. He was taken up in a chariot of fire. The chariot of fire must have been a company of angels that carried him up, because in Hebrews chapter 1, we learn that he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. The angel, for example, that appeared to Gideon ascended back to heaven in a flame of fire. Jesus did not need a fiery chariot to go up to heaven. He ascended under his own power. But when he came in sight, the angels in heaven will return again with him in flaming fire. He shall come in like manner as they beheld him going into heaven. Then this statement of encouragement for the Christian, as Mark records these words of Jesus regarding his coming in like manner as he was received up into heaven. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send forth his angels, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. He shall come in like manner as ye beheld him going into heaven. Now there is a reference in the ascension of the Lord Jesus in Hebrews, the 4th chapter also. There it says, having then a great high priest who hath passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. When Jesus passed through the heavens and sat down at the right hand of God, it was 10 days later when the baptism of the Holy Spirit took place on the apostles on the day of Pentecost. The gospel was preached. The people believed and asked what they must do. And the first command given to the human race by the Holy Spirit after Jesus ascended, the very first command was, repent ye and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They then that gladly received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. So Jesus passed through the heavens and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Jews in those days believed in three heavens. The first heaven was the heaven where the birds fly. Jesus said, "The birds of the heaven have nest, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." When the Lord ascended, he did not stop somewhere in the heavens where the birds and airplanes fly. The second heaven is the heaven where the stars, planets, sun, and moon are to be found. Jesus referred to the second heaven when he said in regards to his second coming, "The sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken." Then the third heaven is the home of God and the entire heavenly host. When the first Russian cosmonaut went up in outer space and returned, he said he had been to heaven, and he did not find God up there. The reason he did not find God was because he didn't go high enough. He went through the first heaven and the second heaven, but there was no way he could ever get to the third heaven. No rocket ever made will blast off to the third heaven. Jesus said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Ladies and gentlemen, we can blast off from Cape Canaveral and go to the moon. But to go to the third heaven, you have to blast off from Cape Calvary. The emphasis on this reference of the ascension of Jesus is that he sits at the right hand of God to be our intercessor. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but one who was tempted in all points like as we are, and yet without sin. Because Jesus lived on this earth in the flesh, just as we live, he understands our weaknesses. That is why the Hebrew writer continues and urges us to draw nigh with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may find grace and mercy to help us in time of need. There is no time in my life, no day or hour or minute, that I do not need to cry out for grace and mercy. I am always a beggar before God. I have never done anything whereby I can approach God and ask for something on the basis of what I have done. I am always in need of grace and mercy. Grace is what God gives us that we do not deserve, and mercy is God's grace in action. If God the Father would ever entertain the notion to pick up this world like a basketball and slam dunk it into hell, it is still the nail-scarred hand of Jesus that stays him from that purpose. Jesus is our intercessor, and he is always ready to plead our case as Christians before the Heavenly Father. When Jesus went out of sight of the wandering apostles, he was very much in sight of the host of heaven as they welcomed the king back home. They had seen him leave home, and now they see him return. His arrival reminds us of what the psalmist had in mind when he wrote those words, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." The gates then seem to be personified, and they cry back in answer to the angels and say, "Who is this King of glory?" The angels call back the answer, "The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." And again the gates call back for more information, "Who is this King of glory?" Again, the angels give the answer. The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. A Church of Christ evangelist of yesteryear wrote a gospel song that tells about the ascension of Jesus. The lyrics of one verse tell us, at his feet, on old Olivet's hill, they say, cloud chariots halted, took Christ away. Then the angels came, and to wondering disciples said, he'll come, and earth and sea shall yield up their dead. Oh, I'm so happy in Jesus. Captivity's captor is he. Angels rejoice when a soul saved. Someday we like him shall be. Sorrow and joy have the same Lord. Valley of shadows shall sing. Death has its life. Its door opens in heaven. Eternally, Christ is King. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at this same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition. Check out our website, edbousman.org. And don't forget to tell somebody, somehow, and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.
God is just a prayer away.